This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, let's get some answers and talk to our next guest, John. Of course, Jason Kelsey, every single Wednesday at this time.
Sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com.
All right, let's welcome Jason on. I'd really believe one of the biggest and most impressive regular season victories the Eagles have had on the road in a tough spot in recent decades. I mean, many, many years. Jason joins us right now. Good morning, Jason.
Joe, how we doing?
Good, man. Jason, happy Thanksgiving to you. It's got to be... Look, I know you got to focus on the next game and you got a lot going on in your life, but to get that win on Monday night, that had to be special for you.
Yeah, it was big. It was, listen, it's hard to win in Arrowhead. It's a loud environment. They're a great team. Andy Reid, we have not beaten up until this point. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that really, really happy to get out of there with a win, but obviously – a lot of things to clean up. You know, it's one of those things where, even after the game, I think everybody's excited that we got it done down the stretch.
Yeah.
But, the reality is we still got things to clean up, and it wasn't our best performance. So just looking forward to trying to get all that stuff fixed.
Well, yeah. Jason, let's start with kind of where it started and the struggles in the first half. When those things were all going, it was going haywire with you guys up front. What was going on? Like, why were those struggles so prevalent in the first half? And then how did you flip the script in the second half?
Yeah, it was communication, really, in my opinion. I think it's one of a lot of stadiums in the NFL. We're gonna play in another one in Seattle. And, there's a lot of communication that happens up front between the offensive line. There's a lot of communication that happens from up front to the running backs and to Jalen. And making sure that all is communicated properly and done in a way that's efficient with the play clock, the play coming in, going to the line of scrimmage, what the snap count is. And, we didn't have any procedural penalties, I don't believe, which is a win. That's always something that you are trying to limit in an environment like that. But they, and Spags was mixing up looks and doing things based off of the count, like a smart defensive coordinator does. And I think we settled in the second half, and I'm the guy who's really leading that. And we were not good enough in that regard in the first half. It led to multiple issues on, third down in particular. They had one third and 15 play where we're trying to communicate at the line and figure out what we want to get to. And we just didn't have the time, and it was too loud to try and do that. It ended up being a whole cluster. And ultimately, we had to punt in that situation after failing because it just wasn't synced up. And I think after the first half, we settled in. Sometimes, you can't do as much as you want to do because of those situations. And I think we just, at the end of the day, if we're all swimming in the same direction, we're all on the same page, we have enough playmakers that we can make plays. So maybe not trying to get to necessarily the perfect thing or the thing that we want to get to, or, all the gambit of things that you can do in an environment that the communication is easier.
Jason, it sounds like you're being awfully, awfully hard on yourself. How difficult is it to make protection calls against a defense like Kansas City's that disguises its intentions? You know, that doesn't start out, you know, in the look that they end up in when the ball is snapped.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's particularly difficult on the road. You know, I think, you know, guards looking back, so he's taking a snap picture before the play, right? And then as he looks back, you know, good defensive coordinators are going to move and they're going to shift things around. So you have to communicate to him. And then at the same time, you're trying to communicate what the defensive structure is. And when it's not loud, it's very easy. Mm-hmm. When it is loud and you're like, hey, this guy's down, we're ripping this guy over here, and you know, you're sifting over there, you're trying to get all this communicated, and we have tools and ways to do that, but like, even me saying that in my head being pointed to the left, maybe the right tackle doesn't hear it. And that's where, you know, trying to do all of that and make sure everybody gets the call and do that in a way that you're not going to get a delay of game. And that, that's where it's difficult. I don't think, and I've played Spags a lot, and he's, I really do think he's coaching the best he's ever coached in his career this year. Their defense is so good across the board structurally, and the different things that they present and the way they make them all look the same. There wasn't necessarily anything that a look that we couldn't communicate. I think if we would have played this game at home, it would have been a much different story from that regard. Mm. I do think, though, that the noise played a definite factor in either missed calls or people not being on the same page and things like that.
I don't know if people talk to you about it. The TV copy caught you shaking off a call from Jalen. How often or infrequently do you end up shaking Jalen off with those calls? And I swear this is not a Taylor Swift question with the shake it off.
It's a catcher pitcher question.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you know, Jalen and I both prepare for the game a lot, and the things that I look at in preparation, the things that I am looking at even pre-snap, are not the things that necessarily he's looking at. He's looking more at the back end, the coverages. And that play in particular had a play that had a kill attached to it. And I had a really good suspicion that in the front that they weren't going to be blitzing the player that would ruin the run to the left side. Mm-hmm. So that's me telling him, like, no, I think we're good. Right. And he's like, and obviously we have a good enough relationship that he trusts me. And this is all to say that Jalen is the one who's running the show. Right. I'm just there as essentially the catcher. Right. I'm there to be like, hey, I think we're good in this one. Like, we can keep it on if we need to. So we kept an eye on it. We got it. Now, this is a prime example. I shouldn't have done that. Not because of anything other than him killing it, then me saying no, and then him having to reload the play or get back to the original play. Hmm. That one worked out there. We tried that again later on in the drive, and it ended up leading to everyone not being on the same page. We had to punt after a third down because the communication was a train wreck. Hmm. And it was too loud to do that in that environment. We should have just killed it, ran the next play. We got good enough playmakers that we would have made something happen on that third down. So I think that was a good... it's good that we ended up winning. We made corrections in the second half, had much better production in the second half. But, yeah, I think it worked out on that one, but it also, me doing that was part of the issue, I think, in the first half.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jason Kelce here with us, as he is every Wednesday at this time. You know, Jason, did you feel when you and Travis met on the field after the game, were you aware that the swarm of cameras and reporters, it was almost like after a Super Bowl when the two coaches meet, where the two quarterbacks meet after a Super Bowl, unless you know, Tom Brady walks off the field in disgust after having lost the game. Like, could you feel how many people were surrounding you two?
Yeah, for sure. And I was looking for him, and there's so many people around me that I couldn't even find him. He came up behind me eventually, but you know, I was looking for him. I was looking for Andy. You know, you try and catch the people that you have a lot of, you know, years and experience and personal relationships with. But yeah, there was a lot of media surrounding it for sure. And it feels a little weird, but you know, and it's hard to have a very authentic exchange with your brother when it is that, right? Because then Travis doesn't really know what to say. I don't know what to say. And you know, you want to just kind of, I don't know, it just feels a little bit weird.
Makes sense. Yeah, well, plus you got to watch it. You know, I mean, the cameras can pick up what you say, and you got to be careful there. All right, so let me ask you this, Jason. You know, private moment, meaning a phone call or a text message after that game where cameras don't pick up on it. I'm going to give you three things I thought of, and tell me which of these three is accurate as it relates to you beating your brother and what you, how you handled it with him privately. Choice one, you don't rib him, you don't give him a hard time because you know you wouldn't want that to happen to you after a loss. Choice two, you don't rib him because you know he can play the trump card like, well, dude, yeah, you won the regular season game, but we won the Super Bowl. Or choice three, after winning this game, you gave him hell because you guys just beat the Chiefs' butts in Kansas City. Which one happened?
I actually saw Trav after all that. He came out to where the family area was, saw me and Kylie and the family that wasn't staying in KC, which was really nice of him. Yep. And it was number one, no question about it. I mean, I said, you know, am I really happy that we won in KC and all that? I'm super happy, but you know, there's still a level of, you know, love and whatnot for your brother. And, you know, he certainly, you know, won the Super Bowl. He could have thrown that in my face all day. And, you know, that's not the way he operated. And I don't think that there's a level of respect that you have for your brother. And, you know, I know that he's mad, right? Like, you know, not only is he mad that they lost, he's mad that he had a turnover in a crucial situation. He's mad that the production on his end hasn't been what he knows it, he wants it to be. So there's a lot of frustrating things that I don't need to pile on top of. I think that they're a very good football team, and I genuinely hope that they get these things fixed. I'm happy they, in some ways, I'm happy that they weren't fixed against us, but I certainly hope that they get them fixed and maybe we get to see them again down the road.
Yeah, I think you will, actually. I really do. Jason, this Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for?
Man, thankful for my family, always, my wife, my brother, my girls. You know, I'm thankful for all the people that are in the building that make everything function on a day-to-day basis, all the support staff. You know, I'm thankful that we live in a time and a place where I get to go out there and play a game for a living, and you know, it brings people joy and happiness, and that the world maybe isn't as messed up as it is in other places, and we get to enjoy that and those privileges. Yeah, I think, you know, and I'm thankful for this green bean casserole that Kylie's going to make on Thursday.
There you go. Jason, have a wonderful Thanksgiving to you and your family. We're all thankful for your presence, not only on our show, but obviously the Philadelphia sports scene as a leader within Philadelphia sports, a dominant figure, and obviously part of an exceptional team. So happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and your teammates, and we'll talk to you next week, Jason. Thank you so much.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jason.
There he is, Jason Kelce.